As a psychologist, I've talked to many people with OCD about their experiences. The idea that OCD is only about hand washing and organization is a misconception. OCD is a severe and very common condition. OCD can latch onto anything, but it often focuses on the things we care about most. In an attempt to make the distress from their unwanted thoughts go away, people with OCD will often engage in repetitive physical or mental behaviors known as compulsions, which can be incredibly time-consuming and exhausting. Yet OCD is highly treatable, but it needs specialized treatment. NoCD is a virtual therapy provider for OCD that makes getting specialized therapy easier than ever. With NoCD, you can do live, face-to-face video therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in OCD. Therapists receive in-depth specialized training in exposure and response prevention, or ERP, a type of therapy that was designed specifically to treat OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans and offers always-on support between sessions. If you think you might be struggling with OCD and want to learn more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Do you wish you had a healthier diet? Let's be real. Eating healthy can be a hassle. There's shopping and meal prep, and especially if you're trying to manage depression or anxiety, what if there was an easier way and a way for you to be assured you're taking care of your family? Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens, literally dozens, of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. I discovered Sunbasket during the pandemic, and was that ever a game changer? Their meal kits are quick and easy, even if you're not a pro in the kitchen. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitment to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very best. So go to sunbasket.com/selfwork today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/selfwork to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. This is Self Work, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At Self Work, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work.
I challenge the reader in that chapter to think bigger, to value why they're here right now in a way they probably haven't considered. I give a framework on how to define your mission, which is connected by three parts in the form of a triangle: creation, calling, and cause. That has a bit of a reframe on the concept of purpose at large.
Welcome to this week's edition of Self Work. I usually don't have spiritual authors or leaders on self-work, not because I don't believe in the importance of spirituality, but I've always kept my own spiritual beliefs more private in my work, just a personal choice. This time, Ashley Stahl, who's not only been on self-work as a guest, but she's hosted self-work for me. Ashley wrote and introduced me to our guest today, so I got very interested, and I'm delighted I read this book and met this woman. Her name? Jessica Zweig, and her new book is called Light Work. This is what she says about herself on her website. I've spent the last 9+ years helping industry giants, hello Google and Pinterest, discover their superpowers and harness magnetic personal brands and my award-winning agency, Simply Be. But I'll let you in on a secret. Behind the scenes, I was broken. Completely and utterly burned out, I had built my business on a relentless cycle of toxic masculine energy, and in 2022, I hit rock bottom, an insurmountable depression and physical depletion. My path to quote-unquote burning bright began with a transformative journey to Egypt and a profound spiritual experience that changed who I am and my entire purpose in life. It is this enlightenment, combined with my personal branding expertise, that enables me to guide you in stepping to the next, fully lit, brightly shining version of yourself. So I hope you'll enjoy Jessica and my conversation. I know not everybody can go to Egypt to transform themselves. And she knows that too. I found her inspiring and funny. Her energy, or what she'd call her light, is very palpable, and she wants you to find your own. Before we begin, let's hear from BetterHelp, who also wants to help you find what you're looking for. The most common problem I hear from those seeking therapy is how hard it is to find a therapist, how long it takes, how vulnerable you feel asking around for names. BetterHelp solves those problems. After you make the first contact, their standard is to offer names of therapists to you in less than 2 days, and you can talk to them in a first session to see if it's a good fit. If so, you're on your way. But if not, rather than going through something awkward, you simply let BetterHelp know, and they'll ask what it was you didn't like and find someone else for you. You can text, chat, or talk virtually. All of those avenues are open to you. I'm a therapist because I got good therapy. I'd had no idea how much I could benefit from it, but I knew I wasn't seeing myself or my world clearly. Here's BetterHelp's offer for self-work listeners. 10% off your first month of sessions if you use this link, betterhelp.com/self-work. They say the best time to plant a tree is 30 years ago, but the next best is today. It's never too late to reach out and get help. BetterHelp.com/self-work. Now, here is Jessica Zweig. Jessica, I wanted to tell you, you know, you and I were just talking before we started recording about the fact that I'd hesitated a little and didn't just jump right in and say, well, of course, you know, I want to, because I always read. But what I found, I read your book within the last 5 or 6 days, and I found it to be this incredible combination of a guide, a spiritual guide. You use a lot of terms that are going to be new to the reader. Use a lot of history, Egyptian history, and stories of gods and goddesses and spirits and that kind of thing that is very provocative, but also very, you think a lot about it. But what I found so intriguing was the fact that these concepts that you introduced, that as I was going about my day and doing other things, I started thinking about, have I met any spirit animals? Have I? It really stuck. So tell self-work listeners who you are and what you're about. If you can do a little synopsis of that. And
It's such a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Margaret, and thank you for the reflections of my book. It's music to any author's ears, truly. So it's so good to be with you and your community. I'm Jessica Zweig. I am, you know, the synopsis is I'm a serial entrepreneur. I have been in business, running my own businesses for almost 20 years. I, you know, have really for a long time prided myself on that identity, like being a hustler, you know, starting from zero to, you know, scaling a business, selling my last company. Sure. My background is in marketing and branding and social media and PR. I ran an agency called the Simply Be Agency for 7 years. That was my last business that I just sold. That really was, you know, the peak of my career, if you will. And at the same time was one of the darkest periods of my life when, you know, the whole world was reflecting to me that I was winning. Keep growing, you're crushing it, girl. And I felt like dying inside. You know, I consider myself a spiritual being having a human experience. My spiritual journey started actually when I was really young. I remember talking to angels when I was 5 and have always been connected, but never really had it come online until like I was 19 when I tell that story in the book of when I, as a Jewish, young Jewish girl, met my grandmother's
your grandmother. Yeah. I've got it down here. It's like beginning.
Yeah. That was my, what I call my initiation to the spiritual journey. And so as a, you know, as an entrepreneur that has failed, you know, I started with the success. Like I did sell my business. My first business was an epic failure. And really
I got fired in my first therapy job too. So
oh wow. Yes. Yeah, you understand the trauma that comes with that real trauma. And we have to learn those real hard knock lessons. That's real life MBA stuff. And I realized, you know, at the that point in my life, just how out of alignment I was, how inauthentic I was being, that I didn't have healthy relationships. And I really hadn't done a lot of personal growth and deep work on myself. Mm-hmm. And I started that journey right as I was starting my second business. And it exploded, my second business. And I often say that your business and your career can really only grow to the extent of which you grow as a human being. Okay. And so this whole time building my businesses, people who know me, who have been following me for a minute, like know that I'm really spiritual, but I've really come out of the spiritual closet, if you will, with this book. Like, you've read it, you know.
Yeah, you definitely know you're out.
I'm out. I have put it all out there. And, you know, I live in Nashville. I'm a wife to my incredible husband, Brian. We've been together for 12 years. I'm a dog mom to two beautiful little furry angels. I really pride myself on sisterhood, friendships, female friendships. My community of women is the heartbeat of my life. And I'm really dedicated now with my third business, which is really designed to support female entrepreneurs who are intersecting consciousness with success. It has been my life's work to arrive here and do this work for women specifically and exclusively. So that's the synopsis on me. I could go a lot deeper, but I'm sure we will. But that's a little bit about who I am.
Well, you know, again, I don't do a lot of spiritual kinds of interviews, and this isn't well, we're going to talk about it, but you know what I was reading along and I was thinking, okay, does this fit? And then I came to this sentence that says, take what works for you and leave the rest. And I thought, this is my person. I like this person. So I really want to tell people who are listening to the interview that you are very honest about realizing that your path may not be everyone's path, but you interweave your own personal story. You interweave the sort of business ideas that you've learned or ways to not be necessarily what some people would call successful, but would be not only a spiritual success, a monetary success, a life success, doing what you call the name of the book, by the way, is The Light Work. I should show that right now.
Yeah, I should show it too.
Sometimes I forget. Yeah. I want to talk about both. I want to talk about, I don't like the word branding. Mm-hmm. And then I read what you said about it. And I'd actually been trying to find my own way of talking about it. I had called it in a previous workshop, in fact, just last week, I said something about it being an invitation. Mm-hmm. That when you have a brand, and in some ways it's your invitation to let people know, hey, do I want to hook into this person, or how important is she going to be to me? You say that branding is not a personal vanity. It's an act of service. An investment in the future and a social responsibility. Could you talk for a minute about that?
So branding is I'm going to get a little spiritual here. It's your authentic blueprint. Mm-hmm. It's what makes you, you. It's how you articulate you into a magnetic, emotionally effective message that instantly connects with someone who's never heard of you in less than 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, in the space of branding and social media, and it can feel really self-serving.
Oh, incredibly.
Yeah. The company that I ran was a personal branding agency. So we worked with hundreds, almost 1,000 clients over 7 years on building personal platforms and getting people online to be seen. And I've always believed that, you know, we are here in our highest light when we are in our highest vibration is when we're helping other people, mm-hmm. period.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nothing really truly brings, I think, the average person more joy than that. Mm-hmm. And so really architecting a brand, a message, an offer, a feeling, a look, a feel that makes someone else's life and day light up, whether that's through education or inspiration or enlightenment or entertainment. People don't really care that much about you. People care about themselves. And that's just human nature. People are looking for things, people, you know, products, books, podcasts so that they can fill their own cups and they can help their own businesses and their own families and their own bodies. So when we show up as a brand, we always have to be thinking about the other person. How is the other person going to receive value at the end of the day? And that was really the ethos of my agency, to build brands that were of service, so that every time you get online, you don't feel like you're being egoic and gross, which is such a, you know, fair default and reason why people don't like to be seen as brands, because they don't want to be seen as that person who thinks that they're so special. Well, my philosophy and deep belief is that we are all special. We are all here for a very, very,
and that comes across. You are very, very supportive of your reader. Very supportive.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's really here for you to see yourself in your own power and your own light and potential and beauty and limitlessness. And that is really that come from that I encourage anyone building a brand to start with and never, ever abandon, because that is what makes, you know, true impact in the world. And that has always been my philosophy on branding.
You told a story about yourself in high school that you were trying to act, and you are an actor, but you weren't getting roles even in high school. And a teacher named Mr. Conway said, you know, Jessica, no one is going to believe in you until you believe in yourself. Yeah. And what you did with that was then to build this, you say, I faked it so well that I did indeed make it. And of course, here I am going, that's perfectly hidden depression. There you go. Because you said, why did I never ask why I didn't believe in myself?
Yeah.
To me, that's where this book started to come together for me. I thought that's why when you finally began and you used the phrase, I had to remember who I was. And I want you to explain that to people. And then when you began asking the why, I guess, I don't know if that was with your experience with feeling and seeing your grandmother, but you began to do this, what you call the light work. And that's when you began to learn, absorb, remember, you know, who you felt like you were when you first came into the world.
Yes. I love that you brought up the story of Mr. Conway. That is
one of my, great story.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite stories and chapters and moments in the whole book. Mr. Conway, unfortunately, sadly passed away. He's like an angel mentor of mine. Oh. Yeah. He was my high school drama teacher, and I wasn't getting cast in any of the roles. And I went to his office, broke down crying. And he was like, you're talented. You just don't believe in yourself. And it's super obvious. And from that moment forward, I call it chasing the spiral of worth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you have to be an actor or an author to relate to that experience. Mm-mm. And so from that moment forward, I was like, okay, I'm gonna fake it. I'm gonna believe in myself till everyone else believes me. And I looked for that validation everywhere outside of myself. I call that the outsourcing. Mm-hmm. So I got validated. Finally, I got the parts. Okay, great. Now I got into the college. Then I graduated and I found a boyfriend. I quit that boyfriend and I discovered entrepreneurship, started making money, found validation in the awards, the book deal, the big team, the sparkly office. And I never went back. And I say this in the book to that sweet little girl, 16 years old, crying in her acting teacher's office to say, sweet girl, Why not? Why really? Why don't you believe in yourself? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you're born, we are all born inherently worthy. We're born, we are love. We are born already a piece of the divine. This is my plot and belief, but we don't have to look anywhere outside of ourselves to find our power and our truth. And that unlock, which took me a series of lessons that I had to somewhat times learn over and over again until I realized that just because I exist, I matter. Just because I'm here breathing, I'm important. I have something to offer the world based on just who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't need a specific job title. I don't need to have so many followers on Instagram. I don't need to have so much money in the bank, a hot husband, a beautiful house. Like, those things are nice. They offer comfort and, you know, bonuses, but it's not the whole game. The game is you. And I think that takes, This is why the book is called The Light Work. The operative word is work. Mm-hmm. We find our light. We tap into that power and that limitless and that worthiness when we're willing to go into the dark, because we're human. Things are going to come up and we're going to struggle, and we have to face those struggles and be brave enough and have support, like through therapists and coaches and healers and, you know, mentors to help guide us. We're not meant to do this work alone. But the deeper we're willing to look at our shadows, like a large part of why I didn't believe in myself was because of my family trauma. You know, I had great parents, but I certainly didn't have perfect parents. Mm-hmm. And my dad was really hard on me. And my mom was a bit dissociative, and I didn't get a lot of validation from them. You know, I got a lot of criticism, actually, mm-hmm. specifically from my dad. And I had to wake up. It took me till 40 years old, for really, truly, at the peak of my burnout, when I realized that I had been working my whole life to make my dad proud of me, to prove him wrong.
Yep.
You know, I had outsourced that validation from all of these external sources. Mm-hmm. And in my book, I'm really saying you have to source yourself. And that's the most empowering, healing journey one can take. And that's why I think my book is, while it's very spiritual and woo, it's really, I think, a book for everyone to relate to, because we're all human.
And then you again, this was the other kind of not very non-woo-woo moment, by the way, in your book. There are several of them.
Yeah.
Claiming radical responsibility.
That's it.
And my self-work listeners know that I talk a lot about, now I call that, it's my definition of true self-acceptance, is when neither your strengths nor your vulnerabilities completely define you, and vice versa. And you have to, if you accept that, you claim it, to use your word, great word. And so I saw that and I read that section and I thought, all right, I get it. I'm with her about that. Tell us about radical responsibility.
Yeah. So this is, I actually wanted, my first thought in writing this book was like, should I write a whole book about responsibility, self-responsibility? That's how much I believe in the power of it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my journey has not been a straight line. So there was a chapter in my life, actually, in between my failure, my first business, my failure, and my second business that I ended up scaling and selling. I took what I call a 2-year bird walk into corporate America, because I had gone into a bunch of credit card debt with the first business, and I had no choice but to pay off that debt and take a corporate lifeline. And I was miserable for 2 years. And I was just a victim to my entire life. Like, everyone was up against me. The boss, the CEO of that big company, was a tyrant and was watching over me. My husband was in a ton of scarcity. He didn't want me to quit the job to start another business. American Airlines was my enemy, because I was always on airplanes, like canceled flights, stuck in. I was just miserable. Right. And it was everyone else's fault. Mm. And I went to a retreat. This is why I believe in the power of personal development and personal growth so much. I went to a retreat, spent $700. It was a really just random retreat in the woods of Wisconsin. And a lot of things happened to me at that retreat, but the biggest unlock at that retreat for me was that I was playing the victim to my entire life. Mm-hmm. That I, if I wanted to change my life, that it was all up to me. I was fully responsible for my own pain. I was fully responsible for my own joy. I was fully responsible for my reactions, for my radiance. And when you tap into radical, radical self-responsibility, which is the true, I think, real root of personal growth and therapy and spiritual development, that, and take feedback, you know, and essentially, ideally, it's coming from people who care about you, who want your highest good, but will tell you the freaking truth and hold up a mirror to your shadows. And for you to accept that feedback as in for your highest good, and to do something, no one can do anything about that but you. That is when my whole life turned around. Like, that, I quit that job. I started my business. I started making more money than I'd ever made. I found my purpose. I my literal life expanded within a year, and then it just kept growing because I had tapped out of victim mentality and remembered, you know, that life isn't happening to me. Mm-hmm. It's happening by me and mm-hmm. for me, which we've heard, but like, I am the co-creator of my own reality. And I say co-creator very intentionally because I don't think we're creators of our own reality. I don't think none of us are God. We are co-creating with people, with the universe, with the planet, with our circumstances. And it comes down to the power of the mind and how we direct our thoughts. It's the only thing that we have control over is our thoughts that impact our feelings and emotional state.
And you make the point too, that you also have to take responsibility for what you are thinking about your life, you know, not just about what has happened or who is in your life or what you're dealing with or whatever, but what the story you're telling yourself is part of what you have to take responsibility for.
Yes. Yes. I often say we can't control the weather. We can't control the politics, the market, our partner's reaction. We can't control if our dog throws up in the middle of a work. We can't control anything. The only thing we have actual control over is our thoughts.
Right, right.
That's it.
So let's take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you are definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Certainly perimenopause especially threw me for a loop far before I was expecting it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. In fact, Hormone Harmony has become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. That's 50 orders in the time it takes you to listen to Self-Work. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off your first order today.
We're at a really incredible inflection point in humanity. I think it's such an exciting time to be alive, where we have resources that our parents didn't have, that their parents' parents didn't have, that their parents' parents' parents certainly didn't have, to do this healing work on the shadow, on the trauma, on the unconscious, to bring forward a new earth, which I talk about in the book, a new generation to set forward the path of this planet to heal, because there's a lot of pain and heaviness here. We don't have to look far to find that. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us. I say this in the book, like, how do we heal the world? We start with healing ourselves.
Okay. So for the Self-Work listeners who are sitting here going, wait a minute, you know, I'm a grocery store clerk, or I'm a plumber, or I'm a police officer's wife, or I'm a, I don't know what, all. How they start listening to this and think, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. And how would you try to connect with them or connect with them?
Hmm. Well, I love this question. You know, I think about humanity often. Mm-hmm. And there are, what, 8 billion people on this planet. Mm-hmm. And there's only one you. That's science. You know, there's no one that has your genetic blueprint DNA, literally. Right. You are a literal snowflake on the planet. And going to wax spiritual here again, but
okay, I'm with you.
You weren't put here by accident. You were put here for a reason. And that reason doesn't have to be the same reason that Oprah Winfrey was incarnated, right, or, you know, the Dalai Lama. You have innate value and you're needed to be yourself, yeah, and share your gifts and to do your work and to value yourself, because we all touch people. Like, that police officer's wife is probably raising a family and has a small community and is supporting her husband's very noble job. as the superhero in that house. Mm-hmm. And her gifts are just as important as my gifts, as are just as important as your gifts.
Right.
And that is part of what I'm hoping to unlock in my work and in my book, is that each and every one of us make up the light on this planet. Mm-hmm. And we can heal and grow stronger when we do this work, and it belongs to all of us. Like the light, when we look at light through like the microcosm, it is multicolored. It is is made of every single shade of the rainbow, which is what makes up light. Mm-hmm. And my intention in this book is to redefine that word in my own way, yes, but to really use it as a vehicle to reunite humanity.
Call it love, information, and truth are the three components of it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, our highest, greatest service to the world is to love, be loved, receive love, to know that we are love. Light is information. It's literally just, that's a synonym. It's like when we turn on the light in a room, we can see. What do we see? We see the truth. We see like factual, tangible things in the space. And when
we're about to bump into.
Exactly. And we all came here with our own unique truth and our own unique blueprint to activate and to live out loud. And it's not going to be this beautiful, harmonic, like rainbows and butterflies daily experience. It's just not what we signed up for. But if we're really willing to accept the assignment that we're here to grow, we're here to evolve, we're here to become more embodied in who we were meant to be, and share our gifts and to, show up in service of humanity, no matter how big or small that looks for you, we're doing the light work. And that grocery store worker and the bus driver and I look at everybody I come across in the world, and I look into their eyes and I see their humanity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we should see our own.
Right. Well, you move into the book, the first large section is the inner light or the light work. And then you talk about the outer light, and you talk about creating that kind of soul family, I think is what you call it. And where, you're very intentionally seeking out relationships that you can have this kind of deeper connection with. And you said something that, you have 1 + 1 = 11. Or 11.
Yeah.
And you talk a lot about how it's so important to, rather than thinking that when two people are in relationship with one another, that they then have to somehow become overly dependent or codependent or all mixed up with one another, that they can stay. And I've used the word myself, interdependent. And that, see, I thought you were smart because you think like I do.
I take that as a huge compliment.
I have to admit my narcissism about that.
I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I really truly take that. So
but 1 + 1 = 1 and
11.
One. I mean, that 11 and that whole affects whole attracts whole. And yes. WHOLE, not HOLE.
I can't tell you what a treat this conversation is. You really read my book. I have a whole chapter on female friendship, and I call it the greatest medicine of all, because when women can heal their relationships with other women, we really expand, and we truly heal at a soul level. And many of us were, bullied or didn't feel like we belonged or,
had abused sexually.
It's so layered. And when you, are in a place where you are maybe reflecting a judgment at another woman, like you were saying, that judgment could be, oh, who does she think she is? Like she's so full of herself. She puts herself out there so much, and that's just so gross.
Yeah.
And if you were really, and like I said in the book, what you see in another woman is what you see in yourself, or you wouldn't be able to see it. And the shadow in that reflection is probably, well, who am I to shine that bright? I'm making her wrong for something that I'm afraid of in myself.
Right.
Right. And on the flip side, you see a woman killing it, living her best life, and you feel happy for her. You're not triggered at all. You're like, get it, girl.
Good girl.
For you. I love watching that girl rock her life and shine, that's because you hold the capacity probably in that moment because you're shining too. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's a mirror. And that's why, you know, I designed the book the way I did. And thank you for reflecting the sections. Like, the first section is inner light, where we do that inner work on our spirit and our personal power and our emotions and our physical body. But then when does your light get tested? Like, you think you're healed and then you go to like Thanksgiving dinner, or you go out with a bunch of girlfriends, you know, or you open up social media. It's like, that's the outer light is where the work is tested and put to work. And I talked about, you know, relationships, codependent romantic partnerships, which I've had my fair share of, you know, family trauma and female friendships. And of course, our relationships with our careers and money, which is a relationship in its own right, mm-hmm. and how tripped up we can get in that dynamic. So that's really an intentional design of the book to say, like, it's the healing never ends, the work is never over. But if we're willing to face ourselves and truly dig deep, we really become empowered. That is the true message of the book. And when we're empowered, we find our joy. And that's the whole point of this life and this human experience, in my view.
You know what? And I meant to mention that too. You talk a lot about, you know, joy, and that was refreshing. I have to say, somewhat ironically, my patients have heard me say, my friends have heard me say, you know, I'm never healthier than when I'm not in a relationship.
So real.
I mean, I am healthy. I feel good about myself, you know, but yet I don't have any mirrors. And so, yeah, those mirrors get you every time.
Being married to my husband, who I'm obsessed with, but like, I don't know if people can see the video, but like, I'm holding my palm up to my nose. Like, the mirror feels like this. Like, he's always showing me what I'm not, you know, where I can grow. And it's painful. It's a container for growth. And mm-hmm. I reflect back on my single days and I'm like, yeah, life was a little simpler back then.
Yeah, it was definitely. So then the third part of the book is about sort of a mission, your mission. Yes. And you make distinct the idea of purpose, which was an interesting distinction to me. Purpose is connected to what you do. Mission is who you are and why you are. That got my attention. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So when we think of the word purpose, you know, it's got a little, to me, a sense of absolutism to it. Like, are you going to find your purpose in this life? Are you on purpose? Do you know your purpose? Mm-hmm. Purpose is such a big conversation, and it's beautiful, and it's important that we do connect to that deeper, you know, drive. And it's associated typically with like what we do every day and how we spend our time. And I'm going to go a little
sort of value ridden purpose.
Driven to like some sort of output, right? Like in here in this, what I call the 3D, you know, the third dimension. I'm going to go a little galactic here, if you don't mind. But
No, I'll float along with you.
So I look at things from a universal perspective, right? Like, we're here on planet Earth, which is one of trillions of planets in the infinite, ever-expanding universe. And we're here on a microcosm of time on an infinite timeline. Mm-hmm. And we're playing not this one life out, but I believe we're playing like an eternal game. Mm-hmm. And we come here, yes, to build a beautiful platform and serve all of these incredible people like you do, or, you know, create a gorgeous family and be the best mom and raise the best kids. Like, purpose comes in many forms. And I challenge the reader in that chapter to open up the aperture, to think bigger, to value why they're here right now in a way they probably haven't considered. Mm-hmm. And I give a framework on how to define your mission, which is connected by three parts in the form of a triangle: creation, calling, and cause. Mm-hmm. That has a bit of a reframe on the concept of purpose at large, that says, okay, your creation is probably the thing that you do that feels purposeful, ideally, your business, your career, your work in the world. Hopefully that's connected to a purpose, but that's your creation because you have that one-of-a-kind DNA and nobody could do that but you. And to really value that and see that here as part of your mission. Mm-hmm. Your calling is something that I say you would do every single day if you didn't make any money at it. Like, what does your soul light up doing every day? Because when you are lit up and you are in your highest frequency, that is when you're in the highest service to humanity. Mm. Like when you are in that vibration of joy, and then your cause is not to be morbid, but like, we're all going to die. And when your day is done here, like, what are you really leaving behind? Like when you walked this earth and you leave it, why was it better? Because you existed.
Right.
And so it just opens up the perspective that we're here playing this eternal game, and that we all have a role in making this world a more ultimately loving, safe, inclusive, peaceful place to live. And we can't hand that over to our governments and our big corporate companies and, religious institutions. Like that's our job. It's up to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's, one of my favorite chapters in the book is mission.
Let me ask you something. How has writing this, this is your second book, right? And there's a workbook, by the way, that goes along with this book that we'll have a link to that in the show notes. I definitely wanted to say that. How has writing this book changed you?
Wow, what a great question. It transformed me writing this book. Hmm. This book changed every cell of my body and my life. Mm-hmm. I say this just to share it. It's contextual, but I wrote this book in 3 months.
Mm, wow.
I wrote every word of it. I didn't hire a ghostwriter. I didn't use ChatGPT. I wrote every word of this book in 3 months. It poured out of me. This book came out of me when I got back from Egypt, which I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. Extensively. I had a very pivotal trip.
Pilgrimage kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. A spiritual pilgrimage. I took a 15-day pilgrimage there. And that trip changed my life. I like to say I died in that country. A version of me, an identity, an ego died in that country. And I came home from that trip brand new. And within a month after that trip, I got the book deal for the Lightwork. And my editor was wonderful and just said, just write the book you want. He didn't really want to change the concept. And it poured out of me. To be honest, I sometimes felt like Jackson Pollock, like throwing splatter paint at the screen. Like, I don't even know if this is good. This is just coming out. And then I would step back and I would come back to the page, the next day. And I'd be like, I wrote this. This came out. Like, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It feels like a transmission, that book. And what I really leaned into, and I just really appreciate this question, was trusting my own voice as a spiritual teacher. Because I've been a business teacher. I've been in the world of entrepreneurship, like I said, for 15, 20 years. This was a real, my mentor, she said, because I was telling her about this book, I'm like, I feel like people are going to really think this is a big pivot. Like, cause I was like CEO of a, boutique agency in the marketing 9-to-5 life, whatever. Now I'm writing about Pleiadians and goddess medicine and, Egypt and the light. And I go, I don't really think it's a pivot, to my mentor. I said, it's really more of an evolution. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, Jessica, it's a revelation. It's a revealing of what's always been there. Mm-hmm. And that conversation has stayed with me for 2 years. And I just feel like this book, yes, is a revelation of my own personal journey, but it's a conduit. I was the conduit, I should say, and a channel for humanity, not to put myself like that worldly or whatever, but it just was so clear that the book is not really about me at all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel so deeply grateful to be the messenger, to be the translator. Mm. But that's my job is now done. And I really have been so overwhelmed and grateful with the response from the book. I get messages every day from people who are reading it. It's changing their lives. What you said at the very top of the interview, like you're thinking about it and your daily subconscious, like things are popping up. It's really helping people. Mm-hmm. And so the book inspired me to sell my business. It got me clear on the next business I was going to run, what I really wanted to do with my time, my mission. Mm-hmm. This book is different than the first book. This book feels like timeless, whereas the first book was really about my agency, my business. This is this thing that mm-hmm. I'm doing, 7-year mm-hmm. container. And that book is a great book and people are still loving that book.
Would you say it's the difference between the first book was content and this book is process?
I would say the first book is really a methodical business, applicable, implementable workbook meets business book.
Okay.
This book is more, let me think how I want to say this. This book is really an invitation. Mm-hmm. And it is an activation for the reader to remember who they are. Mm-hmm. And that is an endless experience mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that I know in my heart will hold relevance until my time is done here.
But I think your message is akin to that, that, you know, of course you have to remember who all of that happened to and what that naivete, that tenderness, that vulnerability that we all have as infants and toddlers and children. And again, our parents may do the best they can do. Some of them do not do the best they can do. Don't even try. You're not blaming that. You're not saying, and that's that radical responsibility part. You're not going to, oh, I'm the way I am because this happened to me and I'll never be different. I'll never get the same chances as everybody else. This is so counter to that, but it's an acknowledgement. It's an understanding. Yes. A remembering is your word, a softer word. I really so appreciate you being on Self-Work and you are a light of a person yourself. And I very much appreciate you being on, Jessica. Thank you so very much.
It is such a gift. And I just want to reflect one last time to your audience, just how grateful they should feel. I'm crying that they listen to your podcast and how much you clearly care about your audience and your content and your community, how in service you are to them, being as integrity as you were with inviting me onto your show. I was like, I'd love to be on. You're like, let me read your book first and then we'll talk. And when you resurfaced, it meant more to me than anyone just being like, oh yeah, sure, come on, we'll talk about it. I'll read it at some point. You really operate with that intentionality, which is what makes this show I know so popular. And I'm just very, very honored to be here. And thank you again for having me. This was a gift to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I'll hopefully be back next week with some topic or other that maybe you've suggested to me or has come up in therapy. I love getting your emails at askdrmargaret@drmargaretrutherford.com. Feel free to reach out to me or on the SpeakPipe app where I can hear in your own words and in your own voice what is on your mind and heart. I love those as well. You can join my Facebook group at facebook.com/group/selfwork or join me at drmargaretrutherford.com if you subscribe to that website, which is only mine. I don't feature anybody else's work there. If you subscribe, one, you'll get a free ebook that's new that takes you through exercises, which might help you figure out your own defensive mechanisms. It's kind of interesting. But you'll also receive a weekly newsletter that is the easiest way to keep up with me and what I'm writing, what I'm doing. And I'll also, perhaps in that newsletter, lead you to some other things that I think might be meaningful to you. Only one newsletter once a week. Subscribe at drmargaretrutherford.com and certainly subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Thank you for being here. As always, please take care of yourself, your loved ones, and your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.